Hello, hello! Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno, here with my colleague and friend, Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
We are...
Your colleague, that was a new one. I always love to hear how you introduce me to people.
We're taping from the alternate world headquarters from Frisco, Texas.
Yes, you and your industry colleague.
And we're very excited. Tell me what's up this week, Kendall. How's your week been?
It's been a very normal humdrum week. I got pissed off one time, so I guess it was a tame week compared to you, Joel.
I gotcha. What were you upset about this week?
This week, I got pissed off when I went to Sonic. Am I allowed to? I can say the name of brands, right?
Yes.
I went to Sonic.
Yes.
And, okay, so I'm sitting in Sonic. I go through the drive-thru. I get a burger, and I was feeling pretty...
Wait. You said drive-thru. Do they have a drive-thru? I thought you put your car there. And
they have the stalls, but I don't go to the stalls.
Oh, there's a drive-thru? I didn't even know there was one.
A lot of Sonics have drive-thrus.
Oh, I thought you had to sit there.
I prefer the drive-thrus to the stalls.
Okay.
You don't got to skate out to me. You got enough going on. You don't got to, like...
I don't know. I just try to go for their diet cherry limeades, but then I secretly get tater tots, so that doesn't work for my diet.
I wanted to get cheese sticks and a burger, so I was really helpful, too. Anyways, I got cheese sticks and a burger, and I'm going through the thing, and they hand me my bag, and I look in it. The bag is literally halfway full with fucking ketchup packets, okay? I mean, I pulled them out, and I counted them. They put 42 ketchup packets in my bag at Sonic. I don't know why it pissed me off so much. What am I going to do with 40? I don't even have anything in this bag.
A young kid didn't know.
I don't have anything in this bag that would even have ketchup. I don't have fries. I don't have tots. I have a burger and I have cheese sticks. Nobody's putting ketchup packets
on
those.
Are you sure it wasn't marinara sauce for the cheese sticks?
I am sure it was not marinara. What did you call it?
Marinara.
Marinara sauce. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that. But I just don't, like, now that I have this bag, I have a sack of ketchup packets. Wow. I can't give them back to you through the window. So now they're just all in the console of my truck. I have 42 ketchup packets sitting in my truck that I'm never going to use
that. Because when the end of the world comes, you may have ketchup sandwiches and that might be all you have.
I'm just hoping that there's going to be a resurgence of COVID so that I can sell these whenever there's a shortage of ketchup. Because there's nothing else for me to do with this many ketchup packets. So anyways, that happened to me this week. What happened to you this week?
My son moved out from my couch in my small high-rise apartment and is now relocated to San Francisco. And
hippy-dippy liberals?
Yeah, he'll be with his ilk, making sure that he's trying to get on with a union, to be a union organizer for those people making no money in healthcare. So
do you have empty nest syndrome?
I do. I was a little bit. I was more like, oh, wow, I don't trip over his size 14 shoes anymore. And there's actually no trash on the floor and stuff like that. But so anyway,
it
he's
is
a great kid.
Your little condo is particularly clean today.
Yeah. So he had a mattress on the floor, as you saw. And I just decided to put it on top of my bed here, and now I have like Princess and the Pea kind of bed. And then I'm
you
like,
you do have a ridiculously elevated bed.
I'm
gonna get a step stool so you can get on
so
it.
The bed's really high, and then I'm like, is that gonna work for me? But eventually, I'll put it out at my lake house. But like for right now, I have a bed that's I have to jump onto, and I'm just thinking maybe.
So basically, what we're saying, pretty big weeks for Kendall and Lillian.
Big important stuff. All right.
What's happening this episode?
Yeah,
Lillian?
Well, we're very excited. We have not one, but two special guests.
We
have one of Texas's most amazing state house districts, someone we just love, Bill Brannon. And he's running. We love him.
Bill Brannon was my introduction into politics. I was like 12 years old. I walked into a headquarters and Bill
best.
Brannon was
standing
there.
He has that voice, though, that like anybody who thinks about Texas, that when they hear, those who aren't Texans that are listening to this, when you hear his voice, you're like, oh, I'm home.
If I run for office again, I want him to narrate my ad.
You know, he should be a radio guy. I mean,
he did radio ads when he ran in 2018.
Oh, did he?
His
did
district's he? Entirely located inside of mine when I ran for state senate. And he did radio ads, and they were good.
Oh, man, he's so good. And so we have him on, and then we have the amazing Brenda Davis, who is running for State Board of Education out in the middle of
East Texas. This is an East Texas palooza.
Texas,
we thought we'd get that out of your system.
No, I love East Texas.
Yeah, there. You know, we had this realization this week that Texas is actually on the verge of taking over the State Board of Education.
Yeah.
If we win two seats, we were in control of it, and there are several that are actually targets this cycle.
Right.
And so we wanted to bring someone on. She's a retired teacher. She's running in a 31-county state house district. She's going to kind of brief you on what the State Board of Education does and how many members there are and
talk a little bit
about what it's like to run in that race that nobody pays attention
and
to.
And they don't get paid.
For no money.
And then what are we ranked in education across the country? I don't know, 49?
It depends on what you're ranking it for.
I know, but
funding per pupil, you're looking at around 42nd.
Okay, well, we're not doing well on education.
Not good.
Let's strive to do better. And so, part of that doing better is getting better people on the State Board of Education. When I say better, I don't mean like better, just people that are like been teachers or something. Come on.
Yeah, maybe people that are qualified would be great. She's running against Kevin Ellis, the Lufkin chiropractor, who's the chairman of the board. But Brenda and Bill are both really great folks that are doing the Lord's work out in East Texas.
And if you don't fall in love with East Texas, well, don't listen to us because we love East Texas.
Or listen. You can listen. Just trash us.
All right. So that's what's going on in the show. And now, before we start with those people.
What are we
going
to do before those people, Lillian?
We have to hit the headline. All right. First headline. Team Trump hits the road with a Texas bus tour. Wow. Lieutenant Governor.
Team Trump, not actually Trump. It's just folks, yeah.
Like the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan
who
Patrick.
Bought a cowboy hat for the occasion.
He looks like a goober.
The dude's from Maryland. He's never worn a cowboy hat in his life. He's suddenly stumping on the trail for Trump in his hat.
And they're stumping for Trump, and they're going around. Brad Pascal, who was Trump's former campaign manager as a Texan from San Antonio, and those two dudes, and Katrina Pearson, who's another piece of work, are all out in the state saying...
They loaded all the losers into a van and they drove it around the state.
And basically they're saying, what's going on? We don't have any kind of problem here. We're going to win Texas by big numbers.
It is very telling that you had a Trump bus tour going through somewhere like Jonathan Stickland's district in Bedford. I mean, that used to be a Republican stronghold, and now you're looking at this suburbia that the president is sending top state surrogates to campaign in.
Yeah, maybe if he'd stop talking about how awful veterans were.
Maybe
it was too better. All right, so that went on. So here, Dan Patrick may say whatever he says, but they're scared to death, and they should be. All right, next headline. Governor Abbott considering placing the Austin Police Department under state control after the Austin City Council reduces their budget.
I thought he didn't like big government, Lil.
I know, so much that they go back and forth. So if the legislation is introduced and passed, it would put the Austin Police Department under the Texas Department of Public Safety. That makes no sense.
It makes no sense. I mean, let local governments do what they're going to do. There was a candidate, I was listening to an event, I went to an event in person, actually, for Dr. Carolyn Salter. She's been on the show before. She had one in my district and over in Mesquite, and so I went and introduced her. And she said something that was... I thought a really good way of framing it, and I don't know why we don't do this more often. Somebody asked her about defunding the police, and she said, you know, everybody's talking about defunding the police, but I think we need to start talking about refunding the police and, you know, modernizing the way that we fund police departments. And, like, that's a better way of saying it, I think. You know, reassess the way that we fund police departments because it's pretty antiquated.
It is. It doesn't make any sense. And really... people that know the history, and I'm not one of them, but I know a little bit, is remember the history of police departments was basically trying to keep mostly black people in line.
Yeah.
And so we have a storied past with that, and the modernization of it and making it more of a community engagement operation versus a go around with guns operation is probably a good idea.
Maybe so.
Just a thought. All right, next headline. Texas Supreme Court blocks Harris County from sending mail-in ballot applications to all residents.
We brought this up in the last episode. The Harris County clerk, Chris Hollins,
We like that guy.
Attempted to send mail-in ballot applications to every Harris County voter.
So they went up to the Supreme Court, the Attorney General.
They wanted to stop him. How dare you try to let people vote?
And so the Harris County Republican Party sued, went to the Supreme Court. Attorney General Paxton said he's also launching his own legal challenge to the plan. And the good piece about this was that a wonderful civic leader from Texas, the family of the Butts family, which is H-E-B, Charlie Butts, wrote a letter to the court saying, why don't you let people vote? This shouldn't be a bipartisan issue.
Which is big because he never gets involved in stuff.
No, I mean, he's involved in education. He's involved in these
things.
But
he doesn't, wade into politics.
Right,
he wades into policy from time to time.
Yes, but good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so Chris Hollins at this point has kind of backtracked a little bit, and he said that he is going to still send them to every person above the age of 65 in Harris County, but you know, waiting on the courts to figure out what to do with the rest of it. I guess that's the responsible thing to do, but I do like people that throw down.
Yeah.
It would probably create a lot of confusion if you just went ahead and did it anyways.
Yeah, no, but he certainly got the world's attention. And
he sure did.
Yeah. All right, next headline. Trump reportedly calls fallen American soldiers losers. This was the Atlantic article that came out yesterday that talked about during a trip to France in 2018, Donald Trump reportedly wanted to skip a ceremony at a cemetery honoring fallen American soldiers because they are losers. People are upset about this one.
Are they?
Yeah, they really are.
There's just something about it. I mean, but there's these people that are always going to make excuses for it. There becomes a pattern of behavior, right? He said something extremely similar about John McCain back before he had become president. Remember, he said he's only a hero because he got captured. I like those that didn't get captured.
Right.
Remember? And he's just a piece of shit. That's just Donald Trump.
And
he has
also
no
said
respect.
That when he was talking about a military parade, he did not want any amputees to be in the military parade because he thought they were losers. So all of that came out. I mean, that's just so much. I mean, this is just too much. It's just too much. How much more could we take here?
I mean,
how do you, if you're a Republican, think that that's okay? You can't think that that's okay, right? I mean, there's just no.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. It's bad. It's gotten people's attention, this one.
I mean, I'm partially speechless because I'm not surprised. And I wish I were more shocked that an American president said that. But when he does, you just say, yeah, that's Donald Trump. And it's just, I am both desensitized to it and shocked and appalled by it. And I don't know how to conflate that. I'm just very confused at how I feel about it because it's just so outrageous. Yeah. I mean,
it is
so much
outrageous.
So that people don't even believe it's real, that it even happened.
I know. We are desensitized as a country right now. We're all in shock. And all right, next headline. The Senate District 30 special election is set for September 29th, and we finally got a Democrat jumping in there.
We got him. So the field is set. The election will be held on September 29th, and the current nominees, and the nominees are...
I only know the Democratic side, which is Jacob Minner.
He's the only one that counts. No, State Representative Drew Springer, he's a chairman in the House. This is particularly interesting because he's getting a lot of the big kind of institutional support for the seat. Shocking because he's actually a piece of shit. Everybody hates that guy, but he's apparently not as bad as the next person running, Shelley Luther.
Oh,
the salon owner who refused to shut her salon down, and she's now running ads attacking Greg Abbott in this race of Republicans. I mean, it's just a madhouse.
So she could be the candidate?
She could totally be the nominee at this point.
Well, they need a couple of women on the Republican side.
Also, there will be a guy named Craig Carter. Nobody knows who that is. A guy named Andy Hopper. Nobody knows who that is. Chris Watts, who's the mayor of Denton. And then a Democrat, Jacob Minter. This becomes particularly interesting because this is going to be a jungle race.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that all five of them are going to be running, or six of them, or however many there are, they're going to all be running on the same ballot.
Right.
And so it becomes this weird numbers game where it's like,
oh,
are the Republicans splitting it enough that the Democrat could come to the top or second?
And then whoever
the top two are, it goes to November, right?
That's right.
So you could potentially have a vote in November that has two Republicans in it. But because there are so many Republicans in this race, it will probably be the Democrat and some Republicans. But this district is heavily Republican. So there is a world where it could be Springer versus Luther in November. But we definitely want the Democrat to get a shot to get in there in November. So
go Democrat Jacob Mentor.
Let's
get him on
I'd love to get him on the show. Let's reach out to him and try to have him on before his election on the 29th.
Yeah. Okay. And that was Hit the Headlines. And when we come back, we'll catch up with Bill Brannon. And
love then, that guy.
And then we'll have Brenda Davis on.
So stick around!
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so excited. We have the father of Texas politics, Democratic politics, Mr. Bill Brannon on.
Yay!
Bill is running in for the Texas House, District 2, against a person that we need to stop now.
Trash!
Named Mr. Slayton.
Ryan Slayton. Here's the thing on this district before we turn this over to Bill. Bill Brannon is the very first guy I ever talked to in politics. I walked into a Democratic headquarters in Hopkins County, and he was my county chair I was an early teen or preteen. And Bill has just been an incredible mentor of mine. He is now running against the guy that will be the next Jonathan Stickler. And so we have got to stop Brian Slayton from getting into the legislature, and the idea of Bill Brannon getting to roam the halls of the legislature makes my heart happy.
Me too.
Welcome to the program, Bill Brannon.
Well, thank you. It's a real pleasure. It's delightful to be here with you guys. I have had the opportunity to see your stuff, and it's always entertaining. It's always fun, and I'm glad to be here today.
So
you're completely correct. There's absolutely no issue on which Brian and I don't have a distinction. He's a voucher guy running in a rural district where we have virtually no private schools. He's stuck a Gonzales cannon on his sign saying he's going to be more for the Second Amendment than Dan Flynn was, which I don't know how that is possible, but I suppose if it is possible, he'll figure out how to do it. You compared him to Stickland. I'd really compare him to Bob Hall. He is a guy who wants to represent an ideology and does not give a damn about the constituents.
And he won a contested primary based on his Tea Party and Power Texan crazy time.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Lillian. That was strategic. They ran a third candidate that was even weirder than Slayton, and they managed to carry Flynn into a runoff. And then, of course, the runoff got put off a month and a half, and everybody forgot there was an election, and he won in a very low turnout runoff. It's probably a big piece of what's wrong with Texas, period. Is as long as you're just electing Republicans, basically you have 8% of the voters at the maximum controlling the state, and it's the craziest 8.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. So for people listening to this, what is House District 2? What part of Texas are we talking about?
It's East Texas. It's not too terribly far east of Dallas County. It's Hunt County, which is Greenville, Hopkins County, which is Sulphur Springs, and Van Zandt County, which is Canton, which most folks in Dallas would know from First Monday.
Yeah,
flea markets.
and so what I always find really interesting about districts like this that people who don't live in rural areas really don't understand is that it's just a different animal than running in a state house district in the middle of Dallas. And it takes different kinds of Democrats to be able to kind of compete out there. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, it takes different language. I don't know it's different people, but the communication is slightly different in color. And it's all values oriented, though. And that's not terribly different from Dallas, but it is slightly different. And I mean, in one of the points you'd make that we tend to pay closer attention to the welfare and well-being of our neighbors and our communities because it's more personal. It's smaller and people are a little bit more connected. The circumstance that's going on now with President Trump and the way that he has conducted himself and the way he's conducted politics, where we've started otherizing people. And, you know, our language has gotten to the point where you're giving people permission to act in odd ways. And those things are not consistent with what we've always known as East Texas values. I mean, if you set off to put together an agenda to mess with rural Texas, that was your whole idea. You know, you wouldn't protect clean air or clean water. You'd sue to do away with coverage for pre-existing conditions. You wouldn't expand Medicaid, so you'd put a ton of pressure on rural hospitals. You'd mess with the post office. And, you know, there's just not, and you wouldn't show any respect for public education. I mean, if you just put together an agenda that was designed to mess with rural Texas, and then on top of that, you decide you're going to abolish payroll taxes. We're old. You know, and there's no magic way to make up for payroll taxes and Social Security and Medicare. You know, a lot of times people, Kendall, and I know you know this from growing up out here, but people forget what the Democratic Party has meant to and done for rural areas. In a hill country, if you go to the wall and flip a switch and a light comes on, a Democrat did that.
Yep.
You know, if your parents are living independently in Carthage, Texas, on Social Security, and they've got the coverage of Medicare that knows they're not going to bankrupt the next generation, and apologize for the dog, but we all have them. I mean, a Democrat did that. And not only did they do it, they did it with a Republican kicking and screaming and yelling socialist. You know, Mr. Sam's answer to that was, it ain't socialism, it's applied Christianity. But yeah, we're a bit different.
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to – here's the thing.
Hershey.
Anybody out there is going to be able to compete in a district like this, it's someone like you that is so well-known and so experienced and such a good messenger. But, you know, they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at you, and they'll probably even throw the kitchen sink at you. You know, what's your response to people that are going to constantly say things like Bill Brannon's here to take your guns? I mean, the guy with the Gonzales cannon on his sign's surely going to say that to you. You know, what's your process behind fighting back on things like that?
You know, I'm a child of the Southern gun culture. You know, I don't remember a time when I didn't want a gun, and I only barely remember a time when I didn't have one. Now, some people would say that was cognitive, but, you know, person, man, woman, camera, TV. So I'm still in the game. But oftentimes, we Democrats sometimes get in our own way on this. There is room for a strong Second Amendment and sensible gun laws. And, in fact, we need those sensible gun laws. There's no argument against expanded background checks and closing the gun show loophole. There's just not. You know, there's no argument. I mean, I'll tell you that the Republican platform from last session, I think it's the same in this session, but from last session, called for doing away with gun-free zones. That would be gun-free school zones. It would also be gun-free hospital zones. And I'm not the guy who wants to practice law. I don't practice law, by the way, but who would want to practice law in a family court where everybody was armed.
Right.
I mean, it's just...
yeah.
You know... They want to say that you should be able to own any type of gun. And obviously that would mean assault weapons. But I'm not sure it stops there. I mean, I don't know why any type of gun wouldn't carry street sweepers into it and sawed-off shotguns into it or other weapon. And when they particularize that, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you take your flamethrower to a convenience store? Can you carry your RPG launcher to a softball field? You'll get better calls. I mean... But the point of all this is, look, and they want constitutional carry, which is a big deal with him, big deal with Brian.
Permit.
To basically means to me that you have to have absolutely no qualifications and no background checks of any kind for carrying a gun. And the idea here, you know, in addition to the fact that I would point out how ironic it is for a party with a platform that says you can buy any type of ammunition, including armor-piercing and Teflon, which are, you know, on the street known generally as cop killers, to be holding a Blue Lives Matter rally. Look, there's sensible laws here that can be passed. You know, they would say you should be able to have any kind of accessory. Well, You don't need a silencer. I've been to tons of gun ranges, and they all have silencers. They're called earmuffs. You know, have enough sense to put them on. Nobody needs a bump stock. You know, I mean, the guy, of course, I will say this, bump stocks are not particularly effective for shooting. I mean, the guy in Las Vegas was trying to hit a field. He wasn't trying to hit a target.
Right.
But the bottom line is nobody needs that. Nobody needs more than 10 shots in a clip. I mean, goodness gracious, if you look at Dallas Morning News from last Sunday, which was before the opening day of dove season, they talked about the opening day of the season, told you what you needed to be ready to go out and so forth, and remind you needed to have a plug in your gun. Because it is illegal when hunting federal migratory fowl to have a gun that will hold more than 3 shots. You know, so even if you only have 3 in the gun, if the plug's not in the gun, you're breaking the law. Now, we honestly can't care more about federal migratory fowl than we do about kids.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, the bottom line on this whole thing, and the other thing I will say, is it is time to end open carry of long guns in the public square.
Absolutely.
It's time to stop that. For one, they're only used for intimidation. And secondly, when they're used for intimidation, that actually is a defense to murder under Texas law. So when both sides show up with guns, somebody's probably going to get shot. It happened in Austin, and it'll happen in other places. And secondly, nobody needs a gun to make the point. I mean, and it's just how serious these things are. Micah Johnson in 2016 took an AK-74, and I didn't say that wrong. It actually was a 74, not a 47, and went to Dallas for the purposes of killing police officers, and he killed 5 of them. 4 DPD officers and a DART cop. And he injured 9 others and 2 civilians in the process. Literally to the point where a Dallas SWAT team, the very best of the best armed, the best protected, the best, sent a robot in with a bomb to take him out in El Centro, with the police chief saying, don't knock down the building. But that's just how lethal these things are. And there's no excuse for that being in the public discourse. And the only time I've heard anybody argue for having more than 10 in a clip at all, in a way that made sense, was to say, well, what about hogs? Well, we'll put a hog exemption in, okay? I mean, if you're on a place that's known to have pigs and you're there legally, we'll give you an exemption. You can have your 30-shot clip there, but you don't need it anyplace else. 10's enough. There are rational laws that we could be making in Texas that make sense. This doesn't have to be a conversation between two extremes. You know, I don't want to take anybody else's gun away, and I'm pretty damn committed to mine.
Right.
But there's a way for us to get there.
Yeah.
It's how we're messaging about it, though. If we could take your message and make it the prism when people are talking to rural folks, not just in Texas, but certainly all the southern states, as Democrats, we could just do such a better job.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When you win, Bill, and you end up in the legislature, you'll be in the legislature for the first time, but it is not your first rodeo. You've been on both sides. I mean, somebody, I think it was Barry Telford said last, former state representative Barry Telford said last Saturday that you're the only man that he knows of that could walk in your freshman term and be chairman of appropriations. And so, like, what are some projects that you would like to accomplish when you go into the legislature in January?
Well, there are 2 or 3 things I'd like to get done. Obviously, I would sign on to or draft some gun safety legislation. I would also be part of anybody who is fighting to protect and expand on what we were able to accomplish for public schools under HB3. And I think that's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be challenging in a budget year. I agree with Mike Collier and with positions I've heard you take in the past that we've got to revisit. And it's never going to be an easy vote because the real estate lobby and a lot of my friends are in that lobby are going to fight it with everything they've got. But we've got to revisit the uniform and equal cost appraisal law. We're never going to get corporations to pay their fair share if we don't revisit that. And that's going to put too much of a burden on our homeowners and our property owners. And it's going to leave our schools underfunded. And that shouldn't be the case. You know, there's one of the schools, and one of the other things I would be a part of sponsoring is 25 and 25, which one of the teacher groups has said that they would like us to get to within the top 25 in the nation by 2025. And we're proud of lots of things in Texas. We're proud of our size. We're proud of our economy. We're proud of our football teams. We're proud of one of our baseball teams. But, you know, we ought to be proud enough of our schools and care enough about our kids to ramp all the way up to median.
Exactly.
Full speed ahead towards medium.
So at any rate, those are the kind of things that I would like very much to work on. And I have had, you're right, I've worked on both ends of the state capitol, and I was a district director for two United States Congress people. And the other thing that I actually would like to get back to is in those positions, I had a chance to work with some really dedicated and really smart caseworkers. And they were able to solve people's problems with agencies at the individual and personal level.
Right.
And it's inspiring to see people who know how to do that do it. And I'd like to get back into that work as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Ooh, that's great. Look, we need you. We need you.
The people of House District 2 would be so lucky as to have Bill Braden as their state rep. If people wanted to follow you or your campaign or help contribute to it, where would they go to make that happen?
Bill Brannon for Texas on the his webpage. Then Bill Brannon for HD2 is the Facebook page. And they could also contact me through you.
Yeah, I can figure it out for them. Well, we just really appreciate you taking time to come on. Bill Brannon, the future state house member from House District 2 in Texas. Thank you for joining us on Pod Bless Texas.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, guys.
Bill for speaker.
Right, Bill for speaker.
Right, not only win.
Speaker. All right, we'll see you later, Bill.
Take care.
And when we come back, we will have Brenda Davis, who's running for the State Board of Education in District 9. She's going to teach us all the ins and outs of the State Board of Education because I really don't know much about it.
I just know it covers a lot of territory.
I know that they do important shit. So,
and we're ranked at the bottom of the barrel.
Very bottom. So stick around.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so excited because we have a candidate that's running for the State Board of Education in District 9, a wonderfully fabulous former teacher, Brenda Davis.
Yay!
Hi. Hi.
Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So a lot of people in Texas don't pay very much attention to the State Board of Education. They don't realize how important it is. Actually, we print most textbooks in the country here in Texas, and the State Board of Education decides what most of the country learns in their schools. For people who aren't familiar, what is the State Board of Education and what all do they do?
Okay, the State Board of Education, in my opinion, is one of the most important organizations when it comes to teachers and students because they adopt the Texas Education and Skills Standards. They adopt the instructional material that goes along with the TEKS. So if you've ever been in a classroom where the teacher is saying, we have to cover these TEKS today, well, that's what she's referring to. It's all of the skills that the state of Texas requires each student learn before they have mastered that class. It's important. It's very, very important. And they decide the textbooks and what the content of the textbook is. So consequently, the textbook sets up the TEKS sets up the textbook. So what they decide is important. Right. And it's, you know, the last time they did the history book, they tried to rewrite history, basically. Mm-hmm. And there was enough feedback that they had to stop that. So coming soon, right now they're deciding on the health textbook. And this next week, they're going to be taking testimony on the new science book, which wasn't supposed to be decided on until after the new board was set. But I think they're a little worried that the Democrats are going to take control. So they pushed it through, and it's going to be next week.
Which would just be amazing if we could take the State Board of Education.
Oh, man, Ooh. Wouldn't it, though? There are seven to 15 seats that are up for re-election.
How many seats are on the full board?
15.
Okay. So,
and each one covers 1.5 million people.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, so if you take that in comparison with the population of the state, people may not know that the State Board of Education districts in Texas are the largest districts in the country.
And it's an unpaid position.
How many counties are in your district?
I have 31 in mine. It goes from the Red River to Angelina County, from Texarkana to Grayson.
Grayson.
So Texarkana to Sherman, Oklahoma, all the way down to Lufkin.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
What was it?
And that's, mine is the medium-sized district. There is one that has 77 and another one has 65.
65 counties.
And how could you possibly service an area like, I mean, that board needs to be bigger. That's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well,
it's because of the redistricting that they did, and it caused it to, they just keep making the district bigger and bigger and just making it more Republican and just pushing out the Democrats.
Well, in your district particularly, because the person you're running against is actually the chair of the State Board of Education, Kevin Ellis, a chiropractor from Lufkin who has never taught in a classroom.
No, in all fairness, he has been on the school board, but okay. As far as being in a classroom, no, he has not.
Is that what not at all. Motivated you to run? Was just some of the shenanigans when you were teaching that you were seeing directed from Austin regarding textbooks and sort of
balance? We moved out to Fannin County 3 years ago from Ellis County, which I was born and raised in Ellis County. And my husband's from Johnson County, which is Alvarado Cleburne area. And it just never occurred to me. My children went to Midlothian schools, and it was always such a good school. It just never occurred to me that other schools didn't have the same opportunities. And when we got out here, I decided that I might want to sub. So I started checking out schools and decided, no, I didn't want to do that. And so I started going to school board meetings and just listening to the lack thereof of resources available to rural schools. When the pandemic started, it was just ridiculous that what the rural schools don't have. They don't have the access to Wi-Fi that the larger school districts do. They don't have the infrastructure at all out here that they do. I'm just going to use Honey Grove because that's the one I'm most familiar with. When they did for pandemic, instead, the kids had to either find a hotspot to do Wi-Fi if they had a computer because the school district couldn't afford to give them Chromebooks like Frisco does. So they had to find a hotspot somewhere in town that they could get on to do virtual, or they had to go to the school, pick up a paper sack with their assignments in it on Monday and return it on Friday. Which is totally ridiculous. So if they had a question, the teacher was supposed to be available. I'm seriously considering 24/7 for a phone call because, you know, the kids are going to, if they're like my grandchildren, they're going to wait till 10 o'clock at night to do their homework. And, you know, I get phone calls from my grandson all the time. Grandma, how do I do this? I'm like, it's 10 o'clock, Grant. Go to bed. You know, but I'm pretty sure those teachers were getting the same kind of phone calls from those kids. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And yeah, and so when the opportunity arose and the county chair from Grayson County and one of his friends approached me about running for the State Board of Education, I'd always not wanted to give up on public schools. I'd never wanted to give up on public schools, and it just seemed like the right progression.
Yeah.
It just seemed like where I needed to be.
I want to have a really dorky conversation with you right now.
Okay.
People. And so some people may not enjoy this, but I just don't care because the number one issue to me in my life is I hate school vouchers. Like, that's my thing. It's why I ran for Senate. It is the dorkiest thing that nobody cares about, but is so freaking important. For people that aren't familiar, a school voucher is where you essentially take money out of a public school and give it to a private school to put your kid there. And it defunds public schools and gives money to these private corporations that own these private schools. You're also an opponent to school vouchers, and so I wanted to talk to you about it for a second.
I'm against charter schools and school vouchers.
Oh, look at that.
We're 100% against. It's anything that takes away from public schools is a travesty. We're paying taxes, And I'll be darned if I'm going to pay for somebody's rich kid to be able to go to school because they can't hack it in a normal classroom. Or they don't want to be in a classroom with somebody that's not the same color they are.
Right.
Not, you know, to me, it's just systematic segregation all over again. And I'm just against it. When I've said, and I've told Good Luck With That by several of the current board members, that as soon as I get to Austin, I'm going to ask for a moratorium on charter schools, that we not even look at charter schools for 2 years until we can get the public schools back up to speed.
I mean, it does seem strange that there's people that look at the public schools and they say, wow, these are underfunded and underperforming. We should really spread this money around to private schools and charter schools to try to just give them less money.
Well, you know, in voucher schools too, they're wanting to give vouchers to homeschoolers. I'm saying, fine, if you want to homeschool your child, that's your prerogative. But don't take it away from public schools because you're ticked off about something happening in a public school. And most of the time, that's what's happened. Their little darling didn't get their way. And I'm just going to pull my kid out of class and homeschool them.
Don't you think there's going to be so many issues because of COVID with this? There's just such a... We have kids that are not going to have gone to school since February that are still not enrolled because they don't have internet. We're going to be losing huge portions of our kids to
instructional time. Yes.
Yeah. And yes. So there's going to be a whole nother set of issues that come in.
And you know, I'm seeing this from both sides of the issue here. I have a granddaughter that's dyslexic. My daughter is a dyslexia therapist. So she gets the extra stuff that she needs at home, but all the other kids that are dyslexic, they're not getting that in-class instruction that they so desperately need because of this pandemic. And had we just thought about this beforehand, this is not anything new. We've had flu, we've had all kinds of diseases that has shut the schools down. And why weren't we thinking ahead on this? And why didn't we already have a plan of action set up? I have to hand it to Frisco. They got theirs up and running quicker than any other school district I have seen. But they have an awesome superintendent, too. He is really on top of things. And he works well with his staff. He respects his staff. He respects their opinions. And a lot of superintendents don't do that. They don't respect their staff. I blame it on Abbott. Because there was not any money for them to even look at an alternative way of teaching.
Yeah.
And
what's going on in our school districts is just so important about setting the standard for you know, the next 50 years in the state. I mean, if you have this entire year or two where you're just not educating a population, it's not going to be good down the road, man.
Everybody knows.
Well, that's exactly what Betsy DeVos wants.
It's exactly what she wants.
Yeah, that's exactly what she wants, because an uneducated electorate generally votes Republican.
One more subject that's a little bit more taboo, but I know is brought up a lot in reference to the State Board of Education, is teaching sex education in our public schools. The State Board has made some decisions there that have been extremely controversial, including sticking to abstinence-only policies for high schoolers and things like that. Do you foresee any more of those types of attacks coming up? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I sat in on 6 hours of testimony last month before last about when they were doing the health books. And I even testified about STDs, because that's, being a high school teacher, I saw that happening a lot. And unplanned pregnancies. I'm not calling them unwanted pregnancies. They were just unplanned pregnancies. Abstinence is not working. And that's what they want in the textbook. They want it abstinence only. And we know it's not working. Texas has one of the highest increases in sexually transmitted diseases in the nation. And they have one of the highest teen pregnancy rates in the nation. But hey, abstinence is working. No, it's not.
So what do you think is the substitute to that?
We need to teach these kids that sex is normal and it's not something to be ashamed of, but you need to be safe because you shouldn't have to die for something that's supposed to be pleasurable.
Well, very cool. Well, Brenda Davis, running for State Board of Education in District 9, we are just so grateful that you took time to come on our little show, God Bless Texas, away from your 31 counties. If people wanted to follow you or the work that you're doing on your campaign, where would they go to do that?
They can go to my @blue account. It's at davisforeducation@outlook.com, or you can visit my website. It's bdavisforeducation.com.
And that's B Davis, the number four, education.
The number four.
Great.
Number four, education.com. Or you can email me at davisforeducation@outlook.com. Wow. I try to answer all emails and messages on my Facebook page and all that within a half a day. Sometimes I get tied up and it might be the next day, but I'm usually pretty good about answering.
Well, you have just gotten up and thrown punches in a district that we haven't run in a while. And I mean, you're just kicking ass and putting a lot of miles on that car. So we really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Place to pick on Mr. Ellis.
Good for you.
You know, we bought a new car in August and we've already put 40,000 miles on it. It's a year old and we've already put 40,000 miles on it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Timberman. You don't get to go yet, because before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed.
Okay.
Obsessed, where each of us are going to talk about one news story from the week, whether it's politics or it wasn't, that we've been completely obsessed with. And as always, we have to start this segment with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
What came out of the White House earlier this week, where they actually, during a White House press conference, showed a video of Nancy Pelosi coming out of a hair salon. Here we have lost almost 200,000 Americans to a COVID epidemic that there's no end in sight and no plan for how to deal with it. And we took time to talk about whether Nancy Pelosi had her hair done and just the travesty of leadership. And the misogyny, all put in there of Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, most powerful woman in the country. And she has to put up with this president belittling her, berating her, and it's just tiresome. And I think he lost a lot of votes with suburban women like me.
He was going to get your vote until you saw that video.
He was never going to get my vote, but I mean, they just... Anybody who is a woman knows about getting their hair done, and you need it done. And it was just unbelievable that they showed it from the White House, a video of that. So anyway, that was my obsess, just over this guy.
I mean, it was absolutely unacceptable. You know, you'd think that Nancy would at least go to a hair salon where the owner likes her, maybe, so that they won't release the video.
Setup. It was probably set up.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, by the way, Republicans are good at that. But anyway, for the country, embarrassing.
Her hairdresser even said it was a setup, that the owner set the hairdresser and Nancy up. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go get my hair cut, and if Trump doesn't like it, he can kiss my backside.
Good for you.
Yeah, so that's a good obsess, Lillian. Good obsess. State Board of Education, District 9, Democratic nominee, Brenda Davis. What's something this week you've been completely obsessed
with? Well, I'm completely obsessed with the new book that Sarah Huckabee Sanders has written. She says that he told her to give herself to the Korean prime minister, or whatever the hell he's called.
Take one for the team.
He said, take one for the team. And yet she gets out and just says, he's the best president we've ever had. Please. I would have told him, I'm sorry, you're not pimping me out so that you can look good and get reelected. It's not happening.
Pimping me out for diplomacy.
Plus,
exactly.
Twice the size of the Korean prime minister.
No.
No, I meant she's tall. I didn't mean like big. Like, he's tall. Korean guy's like this.
And he's like 5'2". Yeah. I'm even taller than he is.
Well, you know.
I mean, I'm talking about her height, but
you don't know what he's into.
That's true. Oh my God, that's just, she said that.
About yeah, it just, as a woman, it just offended me. I was just offended. I told my husband last night, I said, I'll guarantee you this, if anybody had ever said that to me about that, no, he wouldn't have made it back to the United States. I would have been carrying him out on a stretcher.
I love how all three of us right now have an obsessed that is going to tie in with American sexism. But yeah.
Well, and Donald Trump. As the top of the American sexist misogynist. Yeah.
Good obsessed, Brenda Davis.
I love that one, Brenda.
Thank you.
My obsessed this week is about another lady that, frankly, controversial opinion alert. I think that she has just been assaulted by the entire American public, and it has put American sexism on full display. But my obsession this week is Carol Baskin has been selected to be on Dancing with the Stars this season. Carol Baskin, who you may remember from the hit Netflix series Tiger King. You also may know her as That Bitch Carol Baskin. That's how everyone knows her now, because one ass clown in Oklahoma has accused her of murdering her husband on national television and blames her for everything, and everyone just jumps in behind it. Everybody universally hates Carol Baskin, That Bitch Carol Baskin, when the lady's just running a tiger refuge.
She's just not likable from the show.
She's a little nutty, right? I get that she's a little nutty, but, you know, there are a lot of men on that show that have done way worse. I mean, like...
with the young girls. And the
it was just a nightmare. Mm-hmm. That Doc Antle guy, I'm surprised he doesn't have a spinoff, by the way, who's running a sex cult in his zoo. I mean, like, there's some crazy stuff there, but everyone's obsessed with That Bitch Carol Baskin that killed her husband because this one redneck in Oklahoma is obsessed with her. Harassing her.
Yeah, no. I get it. I wish they'd all go away.
Well, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars. I have three granddaughters that are in dance, and I told them that if they ever dressed like those women did on Dancing with the Stars, that I would lock them in a closet till they were 30.
Yeah, their dresses.
Yeah. Well, so
you say what you want about it. I cannot wait for the first episode. I will certainly be tuning in to see. It's similar to when I tuned into the first episode to watch Rick Perry dance.
Oh yeah, Rick Perry.
And Tom DeLay. Sarah Palin. And here we are. I want to watch Carol Baskin, and that is what I have been completely.
I have to admit, I've only watched it the 1 year, and that was when the cowboy guy was on there. Emmett Smith, when Emmett Smith was on there. Only because I wanted to see, I had heard that he was very smooth, and he was really good.
Yeah.
When are you going to use your celebrity to go on Dancing with the Stars, Lillian?
I'm not a very good dancer.
We should be pitching you for Dancing with the Stars.
And I wouldn't wear those clothes, and if I did, I wouldn't look very good at them.
It'd be a killer workout regimen, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You're a good dancer.
So I am not a good dancer.
Oh, I thought you were.
I can two-step, but that's all I can.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're a good two-stepper.
Anyways, that's what I've been completely obsessed with.
He's a country boy.
Best! If you have been with you, I'm not even going to do this part of the cinema. We're just going to skip that part.
Okay, great. Well, Brenda, we are so thankful for you coming on today and wish you so much luck in your campaign and want to make sure that listeners get online and give you some money, because those things are hard to do, especially a big area that you have. And thank you for doing the good work that you're doing, and wishing you luck for your race. And if people want to follow you, we talked about your website. And Kendall, if people want to follow you, how do they get in touch with you?
If people wanted to follow me, they can follow me on all the social medias at Kendall Scudder. They can also follow Pod Bless Texas on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at Pod Bless Texas. And you can go and give us a 5-star rating in your store. That would be stellar. Where can people go to follow you, Lillian?
I'm on the Twitter machine, and I'm at Lillian_Salerno or through Pod Bless Texas.
Okay.
We had a busy week, and thanks for everyone joining us at Pod Bless Texas. Have a blessed week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.